Whatever. I went down to the beach and saw Kiki. She was all like, and I'm like, whatever. Then this chick comes up to me and she's all like, hey, aren't you that dude? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. So later, I'm at the pool hall and this girl comes up and she's all like, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Cause this is my United States of whatever. And then it's 3 a.m., I'm on the corner wearing my leather. This dude comes up and he's like, hey, punk. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then I'm throwing dice in the alley. Officer Leroy comes up and he's like, hey, I thought I told you. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then up comes Zaffo. I'm like, yo, Zaffo, what's up? He's like, done. I'm like, that's cool.
That's cool.
Because this is my United States of whatever.
Gentlemen, welcome to Club Hollywood. First rule of Club Hollywood is always talk about the club. Second rule of Club Hollywood is you always talk about the club. Third rule of Club Hollywood, someone yells stop, goes limp, passes out, it's their loss. Fourth rule, two girls must always kiss every show.
And that'll be happening tonight.
Fifth rule, one song at a time, fellas. Sixth rule, no shirts, no panties. This means you, ladies. Seventh rule, music will go on as long as it has to. And the eighth and final rule, this is your first night at the club. You have to dance.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second part of the show, second hour. Global DJs coming up in this hour. Lucifer, Neon Trees, Band of Skulls, 303, and a whole lot more. But you know what we're going to do first? We're going to kick it off with a little bit of Captain Dan. This is an ode, if you will, to the bear and his boobs. Captain Dan Chesto Plenty.
I like breasts a plenty, not chest who's empty. Itty bitty titties, even bored with wenchies. Got my eye on the prizes who come in large sizes. Deep valley on the sides, two mountains arises. I've got these, I can squeeze or motorboat as I please. Boobies on the seas, be a sight unseen. Yo, X marks the spot where the cleavage is hot. Let me dig with my nose to see what treasures you got. Now rah rah for mamas, your flowers in bloom. I'm gaga for tatas, make me act a buffoon. Fossiers raise them babes from their waist to their face. Never look in their eyes, too busy looking at lace. Wanna tickle your nipples, so let me see them post-haste. Even if you got a husband that be making a chase. All I'm asking is that you just give me a taste. I'm gonna dig in your hole and leave them covered in paste. Say you're out there, mateys, if you love big breasts. You're. Say you're out there, mateys, if you love big chests. You're. Say you're out there, winchies, if you got big breasts. You'd be blessed, you're the best, let me caress them oh so gently. You got chests so plenty. Your endowment is the largest that I've ever faced. If you bounce like that, then you'll break your waist. Gonna twist them slow, like I'm cracking a safe. Making them chafe, they take up so much space. Let them encase my face, the best traits in mates. Girl needs me behind her as a counterweight. Lure me in like fish to bait. They're so damn great. If she hangs upside down, then she might suffocate. Hot damn, thank you, ma'am. This is more than I can fit in mouth, hook, and hand. I demand the best breasts on the land to pass my exam. Say what, they'll withstand. You've got to see these things firsthand. Round and tan, bam, bam. Two goals a man. The perfect brand with the perfect span. My favorite gland. Consider me a fan. Say you're out there, wenchies, if you got big breasts. You be blessed, you're the best. Let me caress them oh so gently. You got chest so plenty. Say you're out there, mateys, if you love big breasts. You're. Say you're out there, mateys, if you love big chests. You're. Telling what the spelling will do for some melons. Like if my pants swollen like an overcrowded dwelling, I'm yelling, come here, wench.
Shut it.
And let me play with those fun bags. It's okay if just one sags. Display is your rum rack. A bum rap, so I am never getting any. I'm always after chests of plenty. As a captain gets so many. Breath's uncanny. Needing over the shoulder boulder holder. Then I showed her how this boulder soldier's colder. Runs my soda with the load I order. You know I told her how she's got some tingle beanies. Whip them out, girl, and just go on and hit me with those big guns. I'm known to make the chicks come. I lay around and sip rum after I get some. It's hard to choose which one. You're hanging with the twins. I got him in my hand, gives me a devilish grin. I settle for gin. Once the rum is depleted, I stay weeded and deeded. You ain't double deeded, wench, just go on and
say you're out there, mateys, if you love big breasts.
You're.
Say you're out there, mateys, if you love big chests.
You're.
Say you're out there, wenchies, if you got big breasts. You be blessed, you're the best. Let me caress them oh so gently. You got chest so plenty.
Suzuki with Hot Sugar. You know what that means, ladies. You definitely know what that means, right? See, when we play the song Hot Sugar here on the show, and I'm playing it early tonight, so no complaints out of you ladies this week. But by the time this song is done and by the time the show is over, I should have two lovely ladies locking some lips to see if they can win tonight's Hollywood Kiss Club. Get out the beeswax lip balm, the chapstick, if you will, and kiss away.
Hot sugar, sweet as she wanna be.
ladies and gentlemen, a PSA from Tyler Hollywood. Men, I have one word for you. Water. It has been scientifically proven that if we drink 1 liter of water each day, at the end of the year we would have absorbed more than 1 kilo of E. coli bacteria found in feces. In other words, we are consuming 1 kilo of poop. However, we do not run the risk when drinking wine or rum or whiskey or vodka or beer or other liquors, because alcohol has to go through a distillation process of boiling, filtering, and yes, fermenting. It is better to drink wine and talk shit than it is to drink water and be full of shit. That's right, there is no need to thank me for this valuable information. I'm doing this as a public service. So, here's the deal. As I was mentioning here at the end of the first hour, we have some letters to Hollywood that come into the show on occasion. And some of them are atrocious to read when you first open them. Now, most of them I like to correct, like I did with tonight's. And I will read it as it should be. But there's other times where I will read it verbatim, and then I will have this urge to go ahead and make it known that this is not right. The grammar's off, the spelling's off, the sentence structure is off, it's a run-on sentence. Granted, I have mispronunciation issues on occasion. I admit to that. But I'm doing this on the fly, folks. I'm doing this live. You have time to go back through and check your grammar and check your spelling. But somewhere along the line, people with horrible language skills got the idea that they were sort of some persecuted minority, like the Jews in World War II, Nazi Germany. If someone has lousy math skills, let's look at it this way, and someone else corrects his bad math, you don't see him calling the other person a math Nazi, do you? He will admit that his math skills are poor and accept the correction. Unfortunately, people with horrendous grammar seem to have, to take a certain perverse pride in it. Perhaps because it is a tribal marker that helps identify their allegiance to a particular peer group. And again, as a sidebar here, poor diction can perform a similar purpose. Notice how our former President George W. Bush invariably used the mispronunciation nuclear in place of nuclear, even though someone must have told him somewhere along the line that was incorrect. But he did it often. And I do it too. There's some words where I look at it, I know it, I see it in my head, boom, I still mispronounce it. But laziness is a major factor. People are increasingly handing in job applications. I get job applications all the time. And resumes which are filled with spelling, punctuation, and grammar errors. And they're so stupid that they don't realize what an employer typically does with such, carelessly crafted resumes. They're filed under G for garbage. Another example of laziness is the dreaded phenomenon of SMS speak, where words are compressed into barely recognizable abbreviations. I hate this. It's what I call the I speak. The net speak. Here's a typical SMS message coming through your teenager's cell phones now. You need to stop being a snob. Who cares if I spell wrong or do grammar wrong? I still get the point X. Need is spelled wrong. You is not properly capitalized, or if at all used, the letter U may be replaced. Bein. A snob. Again, no capitalization on who cares. No capitalization on I. O for or. Do grammar wrong. Come on. English translation? You need to stop being such an elitist. Who cares if I misspell words or get my grammar wrong? I still get the point across. You see? Laziness. It's a flimsy excuse for such behavior. Does it really save that much time to create an unreadable statement? The incomprehensible, see, I did it, text version is still three-quarters the size of the original one. And it's nowhere near as readable. And what about people who use spell check, but who clearly don't understand which words they're supposed to use? I went to the grocery store to pick up some cookies for your mom, but they're closed. Several things wrong with this one, because there is spelt T-H-E-I-R. Mom is too slang. Cookies with an apostrophe. No capitalization on I. Here's the English translation. I went to the grocery store to pick up some cookies for your mother, but they are closed. Sorry, but if you were an adult, and you write me a letter to the show, and you're English, and English is your first language, and you can't grasp the concept of capitalization, or figure out the difference between there, and there, or the difference between your and your, then you're a moron. Similarly, if you always use an apostrophe when you pluralize a noun, then you're a moron. By the way, don't tell me language is unimportant. The greatest advancement in the history of the human race has been the development of written language. It is hardly something we should take lightly. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to be perfect. God knows I am not. But quite frankly, it appears that an increasing share of the population is not even freaking trying. You should at least make an effort, for fuck's sake. And you certainly should not get the idiotic idea in your head that you're being unjustly persecuted. When someone corrects your bad grammar, take it the same way you would if someone corrects your bad math. I say grow the fuck up and admit your error instead of whining like a silly little bitch and pretending you're an obsessed, overly obsessed minority. Alright? I mean, it's alright. You can do that. Here's a new group, Boyface, out of Australia. It's alright. Beer? Did you want beer? Okay, here you go. Reverend Horton here. Beer 30. Mark Hallburn earlier, and we've had some things that we've had to discuss, and one thing that kind of popped into my head as I was thinking of how it came about that he called me a racist this afternoon, and I think sometimes You might be able to look into it as a conditioned response. That's the word I was searching for. Now think about it. Here's an example. Leftists call conservatives racist. Conservatives cower and stutter some kind of defense. And leftists call conservatives racist some more. And conservatives cower some more. The question, how do you think we can break this pattern? I asked it earlier in the first hour. How can we get this pattern broken? We've seen this time again with the recent vitriol spewed by NAACP head Ben Jealous, speaking at the NAACP convention in Kansas City. Mr. Jealous accused the Tea Party of, take a guess, cue the Jeopardy music theme here, racism. Just as predictably, many conservatives are running around trying to convince everyone that, by gum, they really are swell guys. No, really, I mean, think about it. I'm not a racist, I don't beat my wife, I don't kick my dog, I eat my organic vegetables and drive a Prius. That's the words coming out of their mouths. Look, why don't we just save everyone the trouble? Every time a conservative renders an opinion, we can just play a recording with a little weaselly voice screeching, "You're a racist! You're a racist!" You know, how about Barney Frank style? Followed by the music video featuring the cowering conservative. I mean, a 1950s style. Duck and cover footage. With the tune and all. And such conservatives abound nowadays. I mean, don't get me wrong, conservatism, brethren. I have to say, I kind of lean that way more than I lean the other, but I love you. But frankly, too many of you are saps. You really don't get it. People who advocated welfare reform in the 1990s were accused of being racist. If you're for border control, you're racist. If you criticize Obama, you're racist. Oh my God, I must be the biggest one on earth. If you oppose quotas, you're a racist. If you say that, be it nature or nurture, there are differences among groups, you're racist. If you want English to be the national language, you're racist. The word has become meaningless. Used only to stifle and stigmatize opposition, folks. And if calling you a heretic worked in that regard, the left would do that. And if calling you a Fig Newton worked, they would do that. Nevertheless, the ploy prevents sappy conservatives from speaking and even conceiving of certain truths. They won't say that so-called racial profiling is just part of proper profiling. They pay lip service to the relativistic idea. And mark that one down. I think that's a... No, that's a word? All right. That all cultures are morally equal. They refuse to call bigoted blacks such as Obama and Eric Holder out on their bigotry. They tolerate double standards with respect to hate crime law application and racial jokes. And they let whites persecuted for making innocent comments twist in the wind. They won't speak unfashionable truths for fear of becoming unfashionable people. Well, all I can say is that if the truth can be racist, then hello, I'm a racist, pleased to meet you. Let me shake your hand. You see what I'm getting at? And all this gets a deeper point. Not too long ago in the O'Reilly Factor, Bill O'Reilly was discussing the jealous situation with Professor Mark Lamont Hill. The good professor, in so many words, put forth a leftist definition stating that only whites can be racist because being so requires one to have institutional power. Okay, whatever, I accept the definition. Really, I do. I just reject the word. What I mean is, I've long warned against using the lexicon of the left. Racism is a term as stupid as ageism. Only we're inured to it. We forget that ism refers to a doctrine, a system, a theory. So if the leftist definition really so ridiculous, what's more ridiculous is that we actually use their chosen term. This is why I prefer using what simply refers to attitude, bigotry. As in, Barack Obama is a bigot. Eric Holder is a bigot. Ben Jealous is a bigot. As for racism, it was originated by the left. So, let's leave it to them. They can define it. They can wine it. They can dine it. They can ask me. I'll tell them where they can stick it. The point is, you can't prove that you're not a racist to the left, because they'll just define racist as being whatever you are. In fact, you sappy conservatives understand something here. You're not going to prove anything to the NAACP. You're not going to prove anything to the mainstream media. You're not going to prove anything to any dyed-in-the-fool liberal such as Mark Holbern. And they are the enemies. And enemies don't and are not interested in proof. They're interested in propaganda. So, cultivate the right warrior attitude here. Look at it like this. If you were engaging in a cold war against the Nazis in 1938, would you bend over backwards to prove to them that their propaganda about you was invalid? Of course not! They know it's invalid. That's the nature of propaganda, and it's designed to invalidate you. And you don't respond to enemies with defensiveness and measured responses. No, you propagandize against them. Turn it back against them. Now, no, this does not mean you have to lie, cheat, and steal. All right, you don't have to be stealing the baby's candy while you're kissing them. Note that while propaganda generally has a negative connotation today, it doesn't denote dishonesty. It is simply, as the dictionary informs us, the organized dissemination of information, allegations, etc., to assist or damage the cause of a government, movement, etc. And to damage a leftist cause, all we need to do is tell the truth about them. So what this does mean is that you have to stop being conservative and start being bold. This is why I brought up federalism the other day. I consider myself, when somebody says, well, what's your political affiliation? I used to say, I'm a screaming radical. But see, now I'm starting to narrow down exactly where I stand, and I'm a federalist. The only consistent political definition of conservative is one who desires to maintain the status quo. I don't want to maintain the status quo anymore. Well, maintenance men are seldom warriors. Conservatives too often take a conservative approach, being cautious while their enemies are callous. They too often bring a rhetorical knife to a rhetorical gunfight. They too often act like losers, and thus they lose. I'm not saying that we should stop making reasoned arguments, but those are for the reasonable, those who can be swayed. They are wholly inappropriate for unreasonable charges from dishonorable children. Enemies bent on your destruction don't want compromise. They won't yield to reason. They are to be fought and, God willing, defeated. This means that when a congressman, Joe Wilson, shouts out, "You lie!" to Barack Obama, you respond, "Representative Wilson was wrong. Obama lies a lot." It means that when the left bristles at a satirical letter to Lincoln, you understand that bold, fresh pieces of insanity will always hate satire. And personally, do I really care that some Tea Party folks just juxtaposed Barack Obama and Adolf Hitler on a billboard? Not really. I'm just not that concerned about Mr. Hitler's reputation. And what of civility? Be wary here. When the left is civil, or calls for civility, it's usually a ruse. It's simply the tactic that best helps them achieve their aims at the moment. And here's how it works. Leftists lie through their teeth. And then, when you respond with righteous indignation, they pout like little girls saying, "You're mean, you're intolerant, what happened to civility?" Translation, you called our lies lies. How dare you? Understanding that the effect here is to stop sappy conservatives from calling lies lies, thus allowing the left to use its greatest weapon of impunity. Also understand that the worst form of impoliteness is insincerity in discourse. And understand something else. Leftists are actually the cowards. They are creatures of the pack, finding their strength only in numbers. After all, what do you think being politically correct is all about? It means doing what's fashionable in our time. What makes you popular? A man who believes in truth, such as Thomas More, will die for his principles, alone, twisting in the wind. A liberal goes the way the wind blows, or will die for nothing. Stand up to the leftists en masse, and they'll fold like a tent. So free yourself. Laugh at the racism shtick. Make it a badge of honor if need be. Call leftists what they are. Cowards, bigots, liars, demigods. And worst of all, by far, enemies of truth. Fight fire with fire. Remember, millions of good Americans are sick and tired of political correctness and will stand with you, no matter what color they have for skin. So just say to our leftist legal aliens, if you like name-calling and you want to fight, okay, let's go. I'm a racist, I'm a sexist homophobe, and I am in your face. And what's it to ya? I know what I am. Do you? Congratulations to Trina and Brittany, tonight's winners of the Hollywood Kiss Club. You want to find out and vote on that particular clip? Excuse me. You can go to TalkRadioX.com and then look for the Acid Free albums. Look for Tyler Hollywood. Click on that. It's going to be the first picture in there. And you can vote on that one or any one of the Hollywood Kiss Club kisses. Oh, my God. I can't even say it. Go ahead. Go vote. Give your number to Trina and Brittany tonight right there on the Hollywood Kiss Club. Congratulations, ladies. More techno out there. I'm going to throw this to Sean out there in good old GA. Here's Gimme, Gimme, Gimme with the Global DJs.
I wanna give you a
Guy Sean checks in from the Irreverent Radio Show saying, thanks for playing the song. Yeah, you're welcome, Coconut Head. ladies and gentlemen. We got a breakup going on right here on this show via the letters. I'm going to read the first letter that I just got maybe about an hour or so ago at Tyler@talkradiox.com. By the way, that's where you can write your emails to me. I printed this up an hour ago, and it says, Dear John, I'm writing you this letter to tell you that I'm leaving you for good. I've been a good woman to you for 7 years, and I have nothing to show for it. These last 2 weeks have been hell. Your boss called to tell me that you had quit your job today, and that was the last straw. Last week, you came home and didn't notice that I had gotten my hair and nails done, cooked your favorite meal, and even wore a brand new negligee. You come home, and you ate in 2 minutes, and went straight to sleep after watching the game. You don't tell me you love me anymore, and you don't touch me or anything. Either you're cheating, or you don't love me anymore. Whatever the case is, I'm gone. P.S. If you're trying to find me, don't. Your brother and I are moving away to West Virginia. Have a great life. Your future ex-wife. Wow. We got a breakup letter right there, folks, on this show. Holy smokes. I wonder if John has a letter to his ex-wife. I'm a detective. My name is Friday. I work on Saturday. She's my secretary. The guy walked into my office. I knew he was tall. We're on the 7th floor. Last week, a woman walked into my office. She pulled out a pair of 45s, and then she pulled out a gun. She invited me to a party that night. As we were driving to the party, we got a flat tire. I pumped, she jacked. I pumped, she jacked. Then we got out and we fixed the tire. When we got to the party, everyone was feeling merry, but Mary had to leave. Then everyone started jumping for Joy, but Joy got a headache, so we left. We went to her place. A rock broke through the window and hit her breast. I broke 3 of my fingers. I started petting her pussy, and then her cat walked in and meowed. Her husband showed up, told me to beat it. So I did, and I left. Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. John has written into the program, and he has responded to his future ex-wife, Dolores. Dolores. Dear Dolores, my future ex-wife, nothing has made my day more than receiving your letter. It's true that you and I have been married for several years. Although a good woman is a far cry from what you've been. I watch sports, so much to try to just drown out your constant nagging. Too bad that doesn't work. I did notice when you cut off all your hair last week. The first thing that came to mind is, God, you look like a guy. My mother raised me not to say anything if you can't say anything nice, so I didn't. When you cooked my favorite meal, you must have gotten me confused with, yes, my brother, Mark, because I stopped eating pork 7 years ago. I went to sleep on you, and you had on that new negligee, which that went out in 1982. The price tag was still on it. I prayed that it was a coincidence that my brother had just borrowed $50 from me that morning and that your negligee was $49.99. After all of this, I still loved you and felt that we could work it out. So when I discovered that you had hit the lotto, for $10 million, I quit my job and bought us 2 tickets to Jamaica. But when I got home, you were gone. Everything happens for a reason, I guess. I hope you were having a, filling life that you always wanted with my brother. My lawyer said with your letter that you wrote, you won't get a dime from me. So take care. P.S. I don't know if I ever told you this, but Mark was born Marla. I hope that's not a problem. Signed, rich as hell and free. And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it for me and Letters to Hollywood. We're going to throw this next one out to Steve.
What do you know?
In Arizona. That's right, little Pussifer. This is The Mission.
What do you know?
Now, before we get too far into the song, I want to thank everybody who has tuned in tonight to the club. I want to thank everybody who's danced. Jeremy for chiming in. Psycho Rabbit for chiming in. Sean and Sean of the Irreverent Radio Show for calling in. And, of course, everybody else who has spent time with me tonight. Make it or not, thank you and good night. Jimmy the Mind, please, say good night. There you go. Jimmy the Mind, ladies and gentlemen. With that, we're out of here. Good night. Bad Side Live coming up on Monday. Same Tyler time. Same Tyler channel, 9 p.m. right here on Talk Radio X.
Going ahead to the light.
What you know?
And a yip with the estrogen ain't got a penny.
What you know?
Don't you know about the ways on the underside?
What do you know?
What a hot shot got from a North Bank Guinea.
What do you know?
Hang it up with your eyes, cause you ain't got a penny.
What do you know?
All down to size.
What do you know?
Cause I hip to the ball and the hip to the wise.
What do you know?
Yeah, the streets rose in 2 perfect waves in the night.
What do you know?
One crashes on my left and one on my right. It's all fire and brimstone, baby, so let's go outside.
What do you
it's
know?
It's all fire.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, before I actually close the doors to the club, I want to remind you, on Monday, make sure you tune in just a little bit earlier with the return of the live test show and the vaunted leader, Entubert. We now have a solid talk block for you on Mondays, starting at 7 p.m. with the live test show, followed by the Radio Dan show at 8 p.m., and of course, yours truly at 9 p.m. And don't forget, on Wednesday, we follow all that up with Irreverent Radio's 2-hour shot to the arm with Irreverent Radio Show. That's Wednesday, right here on Talk Radio X. Folks, again, good night, good luck, Godspeed. We'll see you Monday.
Now life's gonna lie, it's time to get up. Hot chicken aside. underneath. I got the breath of her last cigarette on my teeth, and she's an actress. But she ain't got no need. She's got.
Well, you want to figure out what's coming up next? Is that why you're still here? Late Night with Learman, replay now.
Cheeks while my tongue is on the inside of some other girl's teeth to tell your boyfriend, if he says he's got beef, that I'm a vegetarian and I ain't fucking scared of him.
She wants to touch me now.